Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sox Machine.
Josh Nelson, co-host of the Sox Machine podcast, the internet's longest-running White Sox podcast.
Rick Hahn's work is done.
SoxMachine.com.
We're all White Sox fans here. I know this is the home of the Chicago Cubs. We're all rooting for this team to make it to the World Series. There's going to be some highs, and there's going to be some lows, and it's all about trying to find that middle ground.
Josh Nelson with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
That's right. Josh Nelson is here in the building. See, Tony, that's exactly the type of dance that you should do for the Sox Machine. Open. It's good. We aren't on Twitch today, so we apologize for that. So no one saw that except for the three of us in this room.
It was only four of you guys, so.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So Josh is here. Josh, before we get into the White Sox themselves, there's a couple of things that we wanted to go through with you. What was your reaction to hearing that Tim Anderson was DFA'd?
A bit sad and bittersweet and how it all ended for TA. James Fegan, Jim Margulis, and I were like texting back and forth, like, how do we want to cover this news? And James brought up a good point that I had forgotten, that before Anderson's injury in 2022, before Memorial Day weekend that May, Anderson was a two-war player, and that was top five in Major League Baseball. And then ever since that injury, he's never been the same. And I think he only had three extra base hits in his last 65 games of his career. And that's not going to do it. All these leg injuries, the groin injury, the hamstring injury, the knee injury has pretty much sapped all of his hitting ability, which was his biggest attribute in being a major leaguer, Lawrence. And then the defensive mistakes. And it was just, reading it from a Miami perspective, it just got too much, like too many fielding errors that they have, like Xavier Edwards and other shortstops that they're more confident and can play competent defense in the major league level, but they couldn't hit. So that's why they signed Tim Anderson to the contract that they did. I don't know what the future holds for TA. Maybe taking the rest of this season off and trying to get fully healthy and then signing some type of minor league contract. That was an idea from AJ Pierzynski on his show. And if he can prove that he's healthy next spring training and he's starting to hit the ball over the field, then maybe he gets a second chance. But it's not looking good for TA.
That's where was the fall off for TA? I mean, from batting 300 on a consistent basis to now being out of a job in the middle of a season.
In 2 years.
In 2 years. Like, yeah. How does that happen?
That's a great question. I think when with all the leg injuries, he mentioned that he couldn't get his hips through the zone like he did especially in the 2019-2020 seasons. And when Tony La Russa came, La Russa wanted Tim Anderson to be more of the table setter. In 2019 and 2020, Anderson was feeling himself. Like, he was so good at hitting the slider after the slider just wrecked him in 2017 and 2018 that Anderson hit over 400 against that pitch, especially against righties, and he slugged well over 500. He was flashing power. And then La Russa comes, and he's like, I don't need you to be a 15-20 homer guy. I need you to be on base for Luis Robert and Jose Abreu and Eloy Jimenez. So Anderson changed his method of, I'm going to try to hit more singles. And then when you have the leg injuries and you have no power, those singles are going to disappear. Teams are going to pitch you differently, shift you differently, and he never adjusted offensively. So that's how you go from someone who could be the face of Major League Baseball, an all-star, to suddenly have no answers at the plate.
It had an incredible four-year run where not only everything you said, Josh, but it was one of the faces of Chicago sports. Yep. And that fall has also been pretty devastating for the sports landscape here.
There's a Sports Illustrated cover of Javier Baez and Tim Anderson. And I love that debate.
So hard.
I love that debate a few years ago. At least Javi got his money. That's the other heartbreaking thing, too, for Anderson, that he watched all these shortstops sign these big contracts. I was just in Boston, and they don't have a nice thing to say about Trevor Story. And he's been dealing with injuries. But all these guys, they got their bag. And here's Anderson without a bag. I mean, he's been paid well. Don't get me wrong. But all those guys got $100-plus million contracts, and he didn't.
Do you remember when people were saying that if things didn't work out for TA at short, maybe he's an outfielder? Do you think that there's any chance that that might be a way that he could, you know, kind of reassert himself into the game, is to say, yeah, I'm gonna spend these next few months paying someone and find a Ron Washington type to help me? And I'll be a full-fledged utility guy. You need me to play second, you need me to play short, you need me to play outfield, I can do it.
I think that would be a good way to go to show that position flexibility. I'd probably move him over to left, again, with the lower half injury history. I don't think I would have him roaming in center field. But when in the World Baseball Classic, Team USA coaching staff raved about his ability to play second base. And with the shift ban, maybe that makes sense, in which at shortstop, you get exposed at times where second base doesn't get as many balls that they have to handle. So maybe that is the position switch moving forward for Anderson.
What did you think of Darryl Van Scallen's Kenny Williams piece?
I laughed. I just imagine how this piece was. Like, the Sun-Times just, you know, what can we write about? You know, who haven't we spoken to in a while? I mean, we're all in this position because we're covering a historical White Sox team this season. Hey, you know what? What is Kenny Williams doing these days? And calling Kenny up. And, you know,
I'm shocked he picked up the phone. I'm honestly shocked that he picked up the phone.
Yeah.
That's good work by the Dutchman.
Yeah, they
got a White Sox business.
Yeah, you did.
White Sox business. Yeah. I laughed. I mean, he still wants to be in baseball. I know that he was just at Baseball's Hall of Fame because they're doing a lot about the Negro Leagues at the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he's been part of it, as well as White Sox assistant GM Josh Barfield. So he's been keeping busy. But going back into the front office, Kenny's in the same boat as Ozzie Guillen. Like, you're going to have to demonstrate that you understand what is going on in modern baseball today. And stop fighting against the current. And I don't know how Kenny does that. Ozzie at least has a platform. He's on the pre- and post-game show. He's on TV. He can speak his mind more publicly. And that gives teams an opportunity to understand the mind of Ozzie Guillen. I don't know how you do that with Kenny Williams today. But I wish him the best of luck.
Josh, Kenny Williams, to me, has an above-average resume.
Yes.
For a GM. 20 plus years, and GM / EVP, whatever. How much of a factor do you think it is, though? How much does it work against him that the two pretty good teams that he helped put together underachieved? The mid-2000s team, the late teens team, like they did not, or early 20s team, they did not get as much out of those as we all think they should have.
Yeah, I think that impacts a little bit. I think what crushes him is this last 5-year stretch for the White Sox. Your draft history is ugly. Ugly. 2016, you had 2 first-round picks, and he used it on Zach Collins and Zach Birdie, a college reliever. The White Sox don't have their 2017 first-rounder on the team. Traded Nick Madrigal. That was your 2018 first-rounder. So just so many wasted opportunities, especially in draft history, for Kenny Williams, maybe even the last decade, maybe in the last 15 years, that I think just crushes his ability to ever become a GM or a president of baseball operations.
I had another question about something you mentioned where you were talking about Daryl sitting there being like, well, what do I write about?
Yeah.
I've always wondered what that's like, because I've been a beat writer in the other sports, but never baseball. I've always, early in my career, would fill in covering Marlins weekend series or something like that. But I always wondered, what do you cover about a team on a daily basis when you go into it knowing they're going to be bad?
Yeah.
Or at least very strongly believing they're going to be bad. And then it turns out they are. I mean, the White Sox were sunk 2 weeks in, probably.
Yeah.
Mathematically. Yeah. And now they're the worst team in baseball, but there's still half a season left.
Right.
I mean, what are you writing? What are you covering? If I'm watching, what should I be watching for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what James Fegan is focusing on right now is trying to answer questions of like, how is Michael Soroka all of a sudden pitching better? And I'm focusing on the MLB draft that's coming up on Sunday, July 14th. I just did a show with Jim Callis of MLB.com. You can check that out on SoxMachine.com. There's been a bunch of promotions as well. Jim Margulis has been keeping an eye on that for the White Sox top prospects, moving from Birmingham AA to Charlotte. Edgar Caro, their top catching prospect, was part of those promotions. We've had a conversation at Sox Machine. Instead of sending James on the road to cover the White Sox, we'll send him to a couple more road series. That it makes more sense to send him to North Carolina for him to go visit the Charlotte Knights and the Winston-Salem Dash and the Kannapolis Cannonballers and see what's going on for the future for the White Sox. Because while you may think 2024 is awful, the outlook for 2025 is not looking much better for the White Sox.
Oh,
so
good.
We're, yeah, exactly. So we're kind of looking ahead to like 2026 already.
Go White Sox.
Yep.
We'll probably all stay out of White Sox business for another year, I would imagine.
Right? Well, it doesn't look good. I mean, and then we have the trade deadline that's coming up, and that's going to keep us busy. If the White Sox trade Garrett Crochet, all of a sudden, that's every fifth day, you don't have something exciting to cover. If they trade Eric Fetty, boy, I don't know how this team wins 40 games, to be honest with you. Then you're writing history, literally baseball history, the worst team in the last 100 years that we are suddenly covering. It's not fun, but people may have to reference our work when they write about the worst teams ever in Major League Baseball history, and one of them is the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
I just don't know what you do with the games in this context, Lawrence. Because you go back a couple years, the Bears are 3-14. But you still care, Bears, fill in the blank team, Bears versus anybody. Do you tell me what am I supposed to be watching for, White Sox Marlins tonight?
So here's the thing, because look, we've had these discussions inside of our own meetings. You know, my partner doesn't watch games anymore. Like, he's just like, I'm not.
Coward.
Like, I'm not. He's like, I'm not doing it. And I understand that. I feel an obligation to still watch the games, because there might be something interesting for us to talk about at there, whether it's the broadcast or something cool happens inside of the game, or you see, like a couple nights ago, and Layla and I were talking about this yesterday, a couple nights ago, there's this odd play at the end of the game where Luis Robert just says, even though he has a chance to throw out a runner from third going home, just like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Now, if we were covering the White Sox a little bit more forensically, that's an A1 topic the next day. If the White Sox were a wild card team, the next day would have been like, what the hell happened last night with Luis Robert in Cleveland? Why didn't he throw the ball home? And then we could have talked about, well, what are the chances that he throws the runner out? Did he position himself well? Are the White Sox teaching good White Sox center field habits? All of that stuff. But because, like Josh says, they're maybe one of the worst teams in the game, it becomes laborious to do that. And I'm not even sure that the score listener even wants that. because they've probably hit the eject button too. They've like, why would I spend my time? If you're a White Sox fan, you've got your summer back. Like, you're able to go do whatever it is that you weren't able to do because you're like, man, I love to lock in on these games. And now you're like, I don't have to lock in on these games.
I mean, that is our slogan, Sox Machine. We watch the White Sox, so you don't have to.
That's right.
It's like, just visit us and listen to our show. We'll get you caught up. We'll even skip the Luis Robert play in our upcoming podcast. But, yeah, in the upcoming weeks, it's trade deadline. It's MLB draft.
Since we brought up Robert, let me ask you, because he's been terrific. Like, the slug, the batting average, not so much, but the slug has been outstanding. Do you think that how do you think they feel about this? Do they think that he is more valuable to the White Sox as a White Sox, or he's more valuable in a trade?
Trade now, because I think it is dawning on the White Sox, we're not going to be good next year. We may not even be good in 2026. We got 3 years of control left for Luis Robert. So you have to justify, it's that line graph, and how do you maximize a value in return of a trade? They're playing this game with Garrett Crochet right now, where they think that now is the time. He's going to be on an innings limit. Whoever we trade him to may put him on the same innings limit that we are. So if we're going to maximize the value ever in a trade for Garrett Crochet, the time is coming up. Same thing with Luis Robert, but Lawrence, I don't know of any team right now that's going to meet the asking price for Chris Getz of Luis Robert. So if a trade doesn't happen before July 30th, I think there's a strong chance that in the winter meetings down in Dallas, Texas, that Luis Robert could be traded. That might be the more suitable time when teams get an opportunity to evaluate him and he plays a little bit more games. But right now, Robert at the plate is definitely in YOLO mode. What I mean by that, I am swinging for the fences, baby. I don't care if I hit 220. My slugging percentage means a lot more to me right now, and I want to demonstrate to a future potential team that trades for me, I am here to hit for power.
Josh, as always, man, thank you. You didn't have to come in here, but you did.
Absolutely. I hope you guys had a great 4th of July. I love your guys' podcast. So, Jason and Tony, keep doing the awesome work. And,
well, they retired.
Yeah,
now.
We won't be, but thank you.
They did their last episode last week.
See, I'm like 2 weeks behind nice everyone, and now you just spoiled it.
Sorry.
Way to go, Lawrence.
Studs, thank you.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I appreciated the work that you did over the last few years.
Yes, I did too. It was very good.
But no, have a great weekend, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That is our guy, Josh Nelson of the Sax Machine.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sox Machine.
Josh Nelson, co-host of the Sox Machine podcast, the internet's longest-running White Sox podcast.
Rick Hahn's work is done.
SoxMachine.com.
We're all White Sox fans here. I know this is the home of the Chicago Cubs. We're all rooting for this team to make it to the World Series. There's going to be some highs, and there's going to be some lows, and it's all about trying to find that middle ground.
Josh Nelson with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
That's right. Josh Nelson is here in the building. See, Tony, that's exactly the type of dance that you should do for the Sox Machine. Open. It's good. We aren't on Twitch today, so we apologize for that. So no one saw that except for the three of us in this room.
It was only four of you guys, so.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So Josh is here. Josh, before we get into the White Sox themselves, there's a couple of things that we wanted to go through with you. What was your reaction to hearing that Tim Anderson was DFA'd?
A bit sad and bittersweet and how it all ended for TA. James Fegan, Jim Margulis, and I were like texting back and forth, like, how do we want to cover this news? And James brought up a good point that I had forgotten, that before Anderson's injury in 2022, before Memorial Day weekend that May, Anderson was a two-war player, and that was top five in Major League Baseball. And then ever since that injury, he's never been the same. And I think he only had three extra base hits in his last 65 games of his career. And that's not going to do it. All these leg injuries, the groin injury, the hamstring injury, the knee injury has pretty much sapped all of his hitting ability, which was his biggest attribute in being a major leaguer, Lawrence. And then the defensive mistakes. And it was just reading it from a Miami perspective. It just got too much, like too many fielding errors that they have, like Xavier Edwards and other shortstops that they're more confident and can play competent defense in the major league level, but they couldn't hit. So that's why they signed Tim Anderson to the contract that they did. I don't know what the future holds for TA. Maybe taking the rest of this season off and trying to get fully healthy and then signing some type of minor league contract. That was an idea from AJ Pierzynski on his show. And if he can prove that he's healthy next spring training and he's starting to hit the ball over the field, then maybe he gets a second chance. But it's not looking good for TA.
That's where was the fall off for TA? I mean, from batting 300 on a consistent basis to now being out of a job in the middle of a season.
In two years.
Yeah. How does that happen?
That's a great question. I think with all the leg injuries, he mentioned that he couldn't get his hips through the zone like he did, especially in the 2019-2020 seasons. And when Tony La Russa came, La Russa wanted Tim Anderson to be more of the table setter. In 2019 and 2020, Anderson was feeling himself. Like, he was so good at hitting the slider after the slider just wrecked him in 2017 and 2018 that Anderson hit over 400 against that pitch, especially against righties, and he slugged well over 500. He was flashing power. And then La Russa comes, and he's like, I don't need you to be a 15-20 homer guy. I need you to be on base for Luis Robert and Jose Abreu and Eloy Jimenez. So Anderson changed his method of, I'm going to try to hit more singles. And then when you have the leg injuries and you have no power, those singles are going to disappear. Teams are going to pitch you differently, shift you differently. And he never adjusted offensively. So that's how you go from someone who could be the face of Major League Baseball, an all-star, to suddenly have no answers at the plate.
It had an incredible four-year run where not only everything you said, Josh, but it was one of the faces of Chicago sports. Yep. And that fall has also been pretty devastating for the sports landscape here.
There's a Sports Illustrated cover of Javier Baez and Tim Anderson. And I love that debate.
So hard.
I love that debate a few years ago. At least Javi got his money. That's the other heartbreaking thing, too, for Anderson, mm-hmm. that he watched all these shortstops sign these big contracts. I was just in Boston, and they don't have a nice thing to say about Trevor Story. And he's been dealing with injuries. But all these guys, they got their bag. And here's Anderson without a bag. I mean, he's been paid well. Don't get me wrong. But all those guys got $100-plus million contracts, and he didn't.
Do you remember when people were saying that if things didn't work out for TA at short, maybe he's an outfielder. Do you think that there's any chance that that might be a way that he could, you know, kind of reassert himself into the game, is to say, yeah, I'm gonna spend these next few months paying someone, find a Ron Washington type yeah. to help me, and I'll be a full fledged utility guy. You need me to play second, you need me to play short, you need me to play outfield, I can do it.
I think that would be a good way to go to show that position flexibility. I probably move him over to left again with the lower half injury history. I don't think I would have him roaming in center field. But when in the World Baseball Classic, Team USA coaching staff raved about his ability to play second base. And with the shift ban, maybe that makes sense, in which at shortstop, you get exposed at times where second base doesn't get as many balls that they have to handle. So maybe that is the position switch moving forward for Anderson.
What did you think of Darryl Van Scallen's Kenny Williams piece?
I laughed. I just imagine how this piece was. Like, the Sun Times just, you know, what can we write about? You know, who haven't we spoken to in a while? I mean, we're all in this position because we're covering a historical White Sox team this season. Hey, you know what? What is Kenny Williams doing these days? And calling Kenny up. And, you know,
I'm shocked he picked up the phone. I'm honestly shocked that he picked up the phone.
Yeah.
That's good work by the Dutchman.
Yeah, they
got a White Sox business.
Yeah, you did.
White Sox business. Yeah. I laughed. I mean, he still wants to be in baseball. I know that he was just at Baseball's Hall of Fame because they're doing a lot about the Negro Leagues at the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he's been part of it, as well as White Sox assistant GM Josh Barfield. So he's been keeping busy. But going back into the front office, Kenny's in the same boat as Ozzie Guillen. Like, you're going to have to demonstrate that you understand what is going on in modern baseball today and stop fighting against the current. And I don't know how Kenny does that. Ozzie at least has a platform. He's on the pre and post game show. He's on TV. He can speak his mind more publicly. And that gives teams an opportunity to understand the mind of Ozzie Guillen. I don't know how you do that with Kenny Williams today, but I wish him the best of luck.
Josh, Kenny Williams to me has an above average resume.
Yes.
For a GM. 20 plus years and GM / EVP, whatever. How much of a factor do you think it is, though? How much does it work against him that the two pretty good teams that he helped put together underachieved? The mid 2000s team, the late teens team, like they did not, or early 20s team, they did not get as much out of those as we all think they should have.
Yeah, I think that impacts a little bit. I think what crushes him. Is this last 5-year stretch for the White Sox. Your draft history is ugly. Ugly. 2016, you had 2 first-round picks, and you used it on Zach Collins and Zach Birdie, a college reliever. The White Sox don't have their 2017 first-rounder on the team. You traded Nick Madrigal. That was your 2018 first-rounder. So just so many wasted opportunities, especially in draft history, for Kenny Williams, maybe even the last decade, maybe in the last 15 years, that I think just crushes his ability to ever become a GM or a president of baseball operations.
I had another question about something you mentioned where you were talking about Darryl sitting there being like, well, what do I write about?
Yeah.
I've always wondered what that's like, because I've been a beat writer in the other sports, but never baseball. I've always, early in my career would fill in covering Marlins weekend series or something like that. But I always wondered, what do you cover about a team on a daily basis when you go into it knowing they're going to be bad?
Yeah.
Or at least very strongly believing they're going to be bad. And then it turns out they are. I mean, the White Sox were sunk 2 weeks in, probably.
Yeah.
Mathematically. Yeah. And now they're the worst team in baseball, but there's still half a season left.
Right.
I mean, what are you writing? What are you covering? If I'm watching, what should I be watching for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what James Fegan is focusing on right now is trying to answer questions of, like, how is Michael Soroka all of a sudden pitching better? And I'm focusing on the MLB draft that's coming up on Sunday, July 14th. I just did a show with Jim Callis of MLB.com. You can check that out on SoxMachine.com. There's been a bunch of promotions as well. Jim Margulis has been keeping an eye on that for the White Sox top prospects, moving from Birmingham AA to Charlotte. Edgar Caro, their top catching prospect, was part of those promotions. We have had a conversation at Sox Machine. Instead of sending James on the road to cover the White Sox, we'll send him to a couple more road series. That it makes more sense to send him to North Carolina for him to go visit the Charlotte Knights and the Winston-Salem Dash and the Kannapolis Cannonballers and see what's going on for the future for the White Sox. Because while you may think 2024 is awful, the outlook for 2025 is not looking much better for the White Sox.
Oh,
so
good.
We're yeah, exactly. So we're kind of looking ahead to like 2026 already.
Go White Sox.
Yep.
So we'll probably all stay out of White Sox business for another year, I would imagine.
Right? Well, it doesn't look good. I mean, and then we have the trade deadline that's coming up, and that's going to keep us busy. If the White Sox trade Garrett Crochet, all of a sudden that's every fifth day you don't have something exciting to cover. If they trade Eric Fetty, boy, I don't know how this team wins 40 games, to be honest with you. Then you're writing history, literally baseball history, the worst team in the last 100 years that we are suddenly covering. It's not fun, but people may have to reference our work when they write about the worst teams ever in Major League Baseball history, and one of them is the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
I just don't know what you do with the games in this context, Lawrence. Because you go back a couple years, the Bears are 3-14. But you still care, Bears, fill in the blank team, Bears versus anybody. Do you tell me what am I supposed to be watching for, White Sox Marlins tonight?
So here's the thing, because look, we've had these discussions inside of our own meetings. You know, my partner doesn't watch games anymore. Like, he's just like, I'm not.
Coward.
Like, I'm not. He's like, I'm not doing it. And I understand that. I feel an obligation to still watch the games because there might be something interesting for us to talk about at there, whether it's the broadcast or something cool happens inside of the game, or you see, like a couple nights ago, and Layla and I were talking about this yesterday, a couple nights ago, there's this odd play at the end of the game where Luis Robert just says, even though he has a chance to throw out a runner from third going home, just like, do it. Now, if we were covering the White Sox a little bit more forensically, that's an A1 topic the next day. If the White Sox were a wild card team, the next day would have been like, what the hell happened last night with Luis Robert in Cleveland? Why didn't he throw the ball home? And then we could have talked about, well, what are the chances that he throws the runner out? Did he position himself well? Are the White Sox teaching good White Sox center field habits? All of that stuff. But because, like Josh says, they're maybe one of the worst teams in the game, it becomes laborious to do that. And I'm not even sure that the score listener even wants that, because they've probably hit the eject button too. They're like, why would I spend my time? If you're a White Sox fan, you've got your summer back. Like, you're able to go do whatever it is that you weren't able to do because you're like, man, I love to lock in on these games. And now you're like, I don't have to lock in on these games.
I mean, that is our slogan, Sox Machine. We watch the White Sox, so you don't have to.
That's right.
It's like, you just visit us and listen to our show. We'll get you caught up. We'll even skip the Luis Robert play in our upcoming podcast. But, yeah, in the upcoming weeks, it's trade deadline. It's MLB draft.
Since we brought up Robert, let me ask you, because he's been terrific. Like, the slug, the batting average, not so much, but the slug has been outstanding. Do you think that how do you think they feel about this? Do they think that he is more valuable to the White Sox as a White Sox, or he's more valuable in a trade?
Trade now, because I think it is dawning on the White Sox, we're not going to be good next year. We may not even be good in 2026. We got 3 years of control left for Luis Robert. So you have to justify, it's that line graph, and how do you maximize a value in return of a trade? They're playing this game with Garrett Crochet right now, where they think that now is the time. He's going to be on an innings limit. Whoever we trade him to may put him on the same innings limit that we are. So if we're going to maximize the value ever in a trade for Garrett Crochet, the time is coming up. Same thing with Luis Robert, but Lawrence, I don't know of any team right now that's going to meet the asking price for Chris Getz of Luis Robert. So if a trade doesn't happen before July 30th, I think there's a strong chance that in the winter meetings down in Dallas, Texas, that Luis Robert could be traded. That might be the more suitable time when teams get an opportunity to evaluate him and he plays a little bit more games. But right now, Robert at the plate is definitely in YOLO mode. What I mean by that, I am swinging for the fences, baby. I don't care if I hit 220. My slugging percentage means a lot more to me right now, and I want to demonstrate to a future potential team that trades for me, I am here to hit for power.
Josh, as always, man, thank you. You didn't have to come in here, but you did.
Absolutely. I hope you guys had a great 4th of July. I love your guys' podcast. So, Jason and Tony, keep doing the awesome work. And,
well, they retired.
Yeah,
now.
We won't be, but thank you.
Yeah, they did their last episode last week.
See, I'm like 2 weeks behind nice everyone, and now you just spoiled it.
Sorry.
Way to go, Lauren.
Studs, thank you.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I appreciated the work that you did over the last few years.
Yes, I did too. It was very good.
But no, have a great weekend, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That is our guy, Josh Nelson of the Sax Machine.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.